episode 23, Home Maintenance.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Jen.
This is Jill.
We are so excited to have you for another episode of the Frugal Friends Podcast. We are diving into one of Jill's areas of expertise, if you will, on home maintenance, because this is definitely not my area. I'm totally clueless when it comes to this, so I'm excited to hear what you've got to say on this stuff, Jill.
I'm not quite an expert either, but it is something that I enjoy doing. And yeah, I think that there's some tips here. And the internet always has tips. Where I lack, the internet can provide.
Amen. Filling up the gaps, internet.
Yeah.
Way to go. Do you want to start us off with our sponsors, Jill?
Yes. So this week, not an official sponsor, but we are big fans of CookSmarts. It's a meal planning service that provides recipes, instructions, weekend prep options, and a shopping list for up to 4 meals per week. So they've got all different kinds of options from your regular run-of-the-mill kind of menus to gluten-free, paleo, and vegetarian versions that you can switch between and archive recipes to pick from if you don't like the recipes that are given in any given week. And right now, they're offering 3 free weeks of meal plans. So if you sign up at frugalfriendspodcast.com/CS, for CookSmarts. And if you go on to sign up for meal planning, your purchase will support the podcast. And we'll have a link to that in our show notes as well. Who doesn't like free? So 3 free meal plans, that's half the battle, is just what in the world do I make and what do I need to buy for this week? So check it out.
Yes, love it. And this week's episode also brought to you by Duct Tape. Not the brand, just the tape. Do you need a dress to wear out on the town? Make it out of duct tape. Broken pipe? Duct tape. Broken doorknob? Duct tape. It's the most versatile maintenance and fashion product on the market. Duct tape.
Amazing. Some people do really take that seriously. Like duct tape is the solution. It's not the quick fix. It is now my window in my car. It is the way I keep up the exhaust system. It's... Yeah.
Yeah. Which, if we were doing car maintenance, we should have referenced it more when we did our car maintenance episode. I don't know why we didn't.
No, we weren't thinking. That was clearly.
Yeah, that was an oversight on our part. But we're at the home maintenance episode, and by golly, it's here. And you'll hear more from Duct Tape throughout the episode. Very lucrative sponsor.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, let's get into our articles for this week. All around home maintenance, DIY home repair, and lawn stuff. So everything that you can do and shouldn't do to keep your home running. Mm-hmm. So this first one is from lifehacker.com, and it is the most common home repairs you can easily do yourself. What'd you like about this one, Jill?
I thought this was a great list, especially because they paired each item with a video tutorial. So you're able to kind of see how you might go about fixing these common problems. And I also thought that what they listed are my most common issues, like garbage disposal and toilet stuff, all kinds of toilet stuff. So they go through, one of the ones that I liked and will probably need to do soon is how to clear out a garbage disposal. And so it goes through like what you need to do it and gives you a video. So that was really helpful to me. How about you, Jen?
So it gave 7 different things. And I liked that number because it was really easy for me to find lists of like 100 home repairs you should be able to do yourself or 20 or 30. And I'm like, I don't think I can. I think you have way more confidence in me than you should. So when I found this one, I was like, okay, 7. I can managed to do 7 because I think the fewer things you do, but do them right, then that's really where like the peak is versus just doing everything kind of right. And YouTube is a wealth of knowledge. So I really liked also that they paired the videos. The garbage disposal one looks like it's a broken link, but you can go to YouTube and find that one easily.
Right. Well, and with each of them, they list what tools and materials you need, and none of them require anything super specific or hard to find or expensive tools. So that is nice too, that you would be able to do these things on your own and at minimal cost.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest ones that I was surprised that they actually listed this, but I would agree, is replacing your own light switch. So this probably would be next level stuff. A lot of people say, I'm not even going to touch electrical work. But this one, I thought, yeah, that's an attainable thing to do yourself, especially after having watched a video and understanding the basics of electricity, that this is something that you could do with minimal risk of harm to yourself. So again, a little bit next level, but possible, especially because it can be so expensive to have an electrician come out for something that is simple. I'm not advocating doing it yourself and figuring it out yourself if it is a more complicated thing. But for switching out a light switch, I would agree that something that your average person could do.
Yeah, that one seemed like the hardest one. The other ones were fix or replace a broken toilet lever, unclog a toilet drain, which is so sad, but it is so common. fix a leaky kitchen or bathroom pipe, and they, for some reason, do not recommend doing it with duct tape. Clear a jammed garbage disposal, loosen up a stuck window, and patch a hole in drywall.
Yep.
They include the tools and materials you'll need, obviously, to fix all of them. There is some WD-40 on some of these, which we'll get to in the next, we'll reference that in the next article. But yeah, these all seem to be doable repairs that if you have the right guidance, the right teacher, i.e. YouTube, you could get the materials and do it yourself and save the money on having somebody else do it for you.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things with frugality is thinking first, is this something I could do? Not just an immediate looking at the phone book. We don't even have those anymore. Going to Google and researching somebody to come to your home and fix it. That's my biggest takeaway, is just look first. If there are tons of forums on the internet saying, you know, whether or not this is a common problem and ways that people have fixed it, and even videos for us visual learners. So I think it's great in that sense. And it's surprising how many people don't know the basics. Like, and I know we'll get into that in the next article about essentials of a toolbox, but even I feel like there's some essentials for what we should know about our homes and simple fixes. Like, it is shocking to me how many people don't know where their electrical panel is in their house or how to use it if a circuit is tripped, like very basic things. So I don't know. To me, that's something that's basic. What would you say, Jen, is something basic that you think would be good for people to know about their homes and be able to do themselves?
Gosh, I feel like as clueless as our listeners, and I was actually going to ask you more of like, so where would people figure out what these essentials are that they need to know? Like the breaker, like what do I need to know about that?
Right. Well, I hope that I'm telling you the truth here, but I mean, know where your electrical panel is. And if a circuit gets tripped, so that could be you were just blow drying your hair and you had your curling iron plugged in and all of a sudden it stopped working. Okay, your circuit got tripped. You had too much load on that circuit. So that doesn't mean keep doing what you're doing. That means, okay, you're going to have to plug in your curling iron either separately, you can't have them on at the same time, or find another circuit, which might be a different receptacle in the room that you're in. So then after that, once it's tripped, you have to go to your electrical panel and you'll see it. You know, there, it says on, off, and it will be switched off and you've got to switch it back over. So it's pretty self-explanatory which one you're going to have to flip the switch to. And most electrical panels, if they're organized well, will say what circuit those each switch belongs to. So even if you needed to turn off a circuit to do something, that's where you would go and you'd know which ones to turn off. You know, turn off the living room by flipping this switch, turn off the kitchen by flipping this mm-hmm. switch. And honestly, if it's a common question, it will just come up in the Google search. So, you know, I was blow drying my hair and all of a sudden it stopped working. What do I do? You will immediately find answers to, you probably tripped a circuit and here's what to do about that. Just with any problem that you have, I would say first go to the internet and ask that question and see what people have to say are common things. And if that kind of lines up with what you're seeing is occurring with your house or your car or
yeah, anything. That's awesome. I know it seems so scary because it's so foreign, at least to me, but it sounds like that a lot of these times it's just like little tweaks, like troubleshooting little tweaks mm-hmm. and then seeing what works. So I hope that that makes it feel more attainable for people.
Right. Yeah. And even if you had friends who were willing to come assist. So if there is a true desire to learn how to do some of these things yourself, either go over to a friend's house when you know that they're trying to fix something or invite them over and feed them a meal if you know that they have skills above and beyond what you have, and watch them and learn from, oh, because most of it is problem solving. You are going to pay an electrician $80 to come to your house just to problem solve, just for a service call, and probably $60 to $80 just for a plumber to show up. So, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to start by problem solving, looking at where's the problem, where does it start? All these different things. So if you can learn what that process looks like for some of these trades, I think that that would really help. And it could either be that then you realize, oh, I don't actually need somebody to come. Actually, this is a frugal fail of mine. I thought that our washing machine was broken. It was spinning. The barrel inside was moving around way too much. And mm-hmm. I thought that it was broken. So I just didn't use it again. I didn't try another load. I was just like, better not touch it. Ended up having, and Eric did look at it, but in his past, he has taken apart an entire washing machine and someone was like, yeah, you shouldn't have done that. So he's like, you know what? Not worth it. Let's just have somebody come out and take a look at it. And they did. And there was nothing wrong with it. He was like, oh, it was probably just a heavy blanket made it seem like it was that you washed. It made it seem like it was broken and nothing wrong with it. Like kept doing. And so that was $80 to have somebody come out to try their little things and to say, no, it's not broken. You're fine. Just don't do that heavy of a load anymore. Done. Oh my word. I was sick to my stomach. I'm like, I'm a frugal person. I don't do this. I problem solve things myself. But there you go. There's a fail for you. So
yeah.
My big takeaway from that was, why didn't I dig deeper? Why didn't I, you know, think to myself, okay, maybe it was just a heavy load. Let me try another load. It's hard to say because sometimes you could try another load and then really do some damage. But that was my experience and I was pretty upset about it.
On the other end of the spectrum, though, sometimes we just let those little noises like keep going forever until the washing machine like implodes.
Yep.
And so that's also not a good frugal move. So there's a balance between giving it an extra try and ignoring the problem till it gets too bad.
Yeah, like the person who drives around with their check engine light on in their car all the time.
Are you insinuating something?
I don't know. I've been guilty of it for sure.
And Eric's been like, guilty too.
You need to tell me when these lights go on. I'm like, I just thought that it doesn't, you just keep doing your thing.
Yeah. But sometimes when you don't, like when they forget to reset your oil change light, the check engine will come on. Mm-hmm. You just have to get them to reset it when you get a oil change. So remember that.
Ooh.
And there's a way. there's a way you can do it yourself if you change your own oil or they forget to do it. Mm-hmm. You can just look it up on YouTube because I forget every time. They teach me every time and I forget every time. But you can reset your own clock on your car depending on what model you have.
Mm. That's a good tip. I would say along with this, another tip, and actually my grandmother has always been really good at this, but keeping a log of maintenance.
All grandmothers are good at that.
Yeah.
You always love buying a car from a grandma because you know it's going to have that.
Yes. The log of repairs and oil changes almost every time the car was filled up with gas.
Oh my gosh.
No, I thought she didn't do that, but I'm sure there's somebody out there who has. But keeping a log of what maintenance needs to be done yearly and then when you did it. So I can forget, you know, like the air filters for the air conditioning system. A year can go by and you don't even realize it. So logging those things and keeping track of it to make sure that you do it is just really helpful across the board to avoiding some of these issues that could arise. So I can find a list of things that are good to do, you know, yearly and put that in our show notes because I think that some of that proactive stuff really helps in the long run for avoiding some bigger things.
Yeah. Well, I think since you're talking about organization, that's a natural segue to our next article.
Yeah.
About the essential toolbox. And this one is great because it gives, it's how to build the essential toolbox for every level of DIY. So whether you're like me or you run your own home refinishing business like Jill and Eric, we can all find our place on the essential toolbox list. Or whether you're like Travis, who owns every tool and still always looks for more.
He does love tools. Anybody.
He does. And that's why I don't feel an urgent pressure to learn 100 different ways to maintain my home.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway, like you said, from this article is organization. I think that's key for DIY repairs and home maintenance. It will seem all the more overwhelming if you can't find the tools that you need, and definitely not cost effective if you just end up buying new every time because you couldn't find your hammer or your screwdriver. So I think that is key in this is to have, whether that's a whole garage that's organized or that's one small box or bin with your tools and you know where you keep it every time. Wherever you're at on that spectrum, I think it's great to know where you keep your things and to always put them back.
Yeah, always putting them back like where they go. Because there have been times where we have needed something. And even though Travis owns every single tool, because he's not a super organized person, we just can't find them. And then he has to buy another one. So organization is like a secret frugal superpower. I think if you just keep a certain level of organization, then you have achieved like level one frugality if we're a video game.
we kind of are a video game. Yeah, I think that throughout this, there's these, you know, frugality isn't just something you can hand over to somebody. It is something that has to be adopted, but there are these deep-rooted values in it of problem solving, of being organized, of trying it yourself. Those are themes that will run throughout this always. And the same is true for home maintenance and tools.
Amen. Amen.
What tools stood out to you that you were like, yes, we need to have those? Or what is your go-to tool, Jen?
So since no tools are my go-to tools, I loved the cheapskate / MacGyver-ish toolbox. This is their first, this is level one of toolboxing. And they reference Clint Eastwood's character in the movie Gran Torino, where he says you can do half of your household chores with just three things: WD-40, a vice grip, and a roll of duct tape. This episode brought to you by duct tape. So they go like take it seriously, and they show links to a few good things that you should have, like this vice grip locking wrench with a wire cutter, which is a legitimate tool. And then they say you should have like a wingman multi-tool, and it's got like 14 different tools in it. And I think this is also I love multi-tools for various reasons, but just because they are like a minimalist dream. So it's like so many things. It's pliers, a wire cutter, wire stripper. It's a ruler, several screwdrivers, scissors, and most importantly, bottle opener. So it's got all of these things in one nice little thing already organized. If you know where your multi-tool is, you don't have to go searching around everywhere for a Phillips head screwdriver. Mm-hmm. You just know it's in your multi-tool. Mm-hmm. So I really liked, they said your starter like toolbox, you know, should be some WD-40, a vice grip, and a multi-tool, and some duct tape.
That is good basics. I think that's great. If you're going to start somewhere, that's the place to start. I also liked their suggestions for the basic toolbox. I do think it covers all the bases of a screwdriver set and pliers and an adjustable wrench and a tape measure and a level. To me, that's an LOL item. Eric loves...
You did say LOL on that one. I was like, why?
Eric loves to use his level, and good for him, because that's quality workmanship. But when just I want something lasers. Hung, when I want pictures on the wall, I just want them. Right now, I'll eyeball it. Grab me my hammer. Let's go for it. We are not going to plan or think too far ahead on this. But for Eric, if it's like we're hanging pictures, holy smokes, we're getting the toolbox, we're getting the level. We've got a pencil. We've got, I don't know, so many things.
He's
drawing
drill
it
once.
Out. He's leveling different things. And I'm just like, oh my word, I'll just eyeball it. And I will say, when it comes to pictures, my eyeballing skills are pretty good. But yes, when it comes to like hanging shelves and that kind of thing, it's definitely important to level. So I'm not saying that I completely throw this tool out the window, but for me, that's next level, especially when it comes to hanging pictures.
I will also say that something that I have been really grateful for that I never knew I needed until I had it was a really good electric drill.
Yes.
When I went to college, my mom got me one of these like really cheap, thin Black & Decker electric drills, and it was nice. And then Travis got his like heavy duty gun type of drill, and it just goes so much faster. It's so easy. Like with these things like the multi-tool, you can screw in things and unscrew them, but it takes time. If you have one of these electric drills, you're drilling and undrilling, poking holes in things. Like you're going everywhere and you're doing it in 30 seconds.
Not to mention it makes you feel super cool.
Oh gosh, yes.
I am amazed at how many households do not have an electric drill. I don't understand it. Or a power, like a battery powered drill. It cuts the time less than half to complete projects. I do think that is a basic necessity. A basic.
And you can get it at a pawn shop, which is where Travis gets all of his tools. And it's not super expensive. He's gotten two Milwaukee drills, which are really great quality drills. For like half the price he would have gotten them new, and gets to benefit from all of the speed that they empower.
So from there, from the basic toolbox, if you're not a person who has all of these things yet, I would not recommend jumping to the, what do they call it? The enhanced toolbox. I would say start with either the MacGyver toolbox or the basic toolbox. Start doing your repairs. From there, see what else is needed. Don't be that person. Frugality will never advise you to be that person who anticipates doing something, therefore spends a bunch of money, and then in reality doesn't actually do that thing or as much as you anticipated. So I would say start with the basic at most and then see what are you good at, what are you comfortable with, and then fill in the blanks from there. If you find, okay, you know what, I'm not going to be doing plumbing, but I am going to be doing some more painting and drywall patches and that kind of a thing. Okay, now you're getting your putty knife and maybe a stud finder, but you're not going to need your socket wrench or your pipe wrench, that kind of a thing. So just identify where your skill set is and buy from there based on your needs.
Jill, how would you know your need is to do a lot of drywall patching? Like if you have young boys in your house.
That'll be your first
sign. Kick things.
Yeah.
Then you might want to master the art of drywall patching.
Exactly.
So look at your home, look at the things around you and say, gosh, I'm really going to have to know how to fix roofs as soon as my kids throw their balls up into the roof.
Yeah. If you are a person who punches holes in walls during arguments, then you might want to get good at this.
And get counseling. So there's a few things you need.
Yeah.
there is one thing that everyone will have from the enhanced toolbox, and that is an Allen wrench, because everyone gets them from IKEA whenever you buy IKEA furniture.
Yes.
So you are already enhanced if you've bought furniture from IKEA.
I never feel like I can throw them away. This is a problem. It's like, well, they just gave me a tool. I now have an Allen wrench. And if I ever need to fix that thing, this is a very specific Allen wrench for this very specific thing that I bought at IKEA. So I've got like a whole drawer of Allen wrenches for my various IKEA things.
Yes. And the last thing on the list is the skilled DIYers or woodworkers toolbox. And I know some frugal people will think that they need all these because they need to make their own furniture, but not necessarily. Like we said, start with the basic or the MacGyver. And if you're really good at fixing your house and you find that you are just a natural at it, then you can consider making your own furniture.
But with that, I would say making your own furniture is not going to be cheaper than purchasing it. Mm-mm. Unfortunately, wood is expensive. Tools are expensive. Supplies are expensive. It is cheaper to buy furniture either at any regular store or the thrift store. Definitely.
Thrift store, but yes.
Making your own is quite expensive, but you do get the thrill and the joy of knowing that you made it, and whatever craftsmanship or custom built thing that you want it to be, you can make it that, but it's not cheaper. So just to ward off any misconceptions there.
We are not making our own furniture over here. Not at all.
No, I will redo furniture and maybe switch out legs or fabric or whatever. And that can be nice, but making your own, that's next level.
Yeah, I will allow Travis to make side tables from the tree that fell on our house during Hurricane Irma.
That's right. Your side tables are awesome.
The legs actually came from old IKEA side tables. So that's where he got them. It was a quasi DIY / secondhand side tables. But nice. That's because we were sawing in half that tree that wrecked our roof. Felt so good to saw into it. I didn't do it. I just watched.
Oh, what a terrible thing.
I know. Well, you know what I will do? I will move on from this now that hurricane season's like almost done. So crappy segue into our favorite part of the show.
Ooh.
Yes.
Is it really that time of the week?
It's time for
the Bill of the Week.
Bill of the Week.
It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi, we had a vehicle payment and there was about 6% interest on the loan. We also had a line of credit. So I called the bank and paid the vehicle loan with my line of credit. Now, my line of credit only had 3% interest, and I was able to pay it much faster on my line of credit. So instead of paying off the vehicle in 2 years, I paid the vehicle off in about 6 months. So we no longer have a car payment. That is great. Sometimes it's best to check out your interest rates and how you can pay something off faster.
That's great, Leah. My goodness, that is what I would call savvy right there. And an excellent bill of the week when you can cut off paying down your car in 6 months rather than 2 years. That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, that's awesome, Leah. We're so proud to have you as one of our listeners, smart, frugal gal. And if you want to share your bill of the week with us, please head on over to frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill and leave us your favorite bill, whether it's one you paid off or some guy named Bill that you know or whatever. We're open. We leave it vague for a reason.
Nice.
Well, to wrap up our episode, we are going to share another article, but we're just going to go through it because we wanted to let you know the things that we don't think that people should DIY. So there might be 100 things that you can fix in your home yourself, and you are free to Google those things, but there are some things that experts agree that you just shouldn't.
Yeah, this is like a flashback to me from Home Improvements. Remember that show with Tim the Toolman
yes.
Taylor? And he would like always try, he would always think that he had skill that could fix everything that went wrong in his house, but really it just led to relational difficulties between he and his wife.
Which classic, I think, 90s sitcom.
Right? But it always speaks to levels of truth in all of our relationships that there can be difficult relational dynamics if one person thinks, I can handle this, I can do this, let me try and fix it, and they don't, and they make the problem worse and then more expensive and more time not having that thing working. So I think with all of this, there's an element of needing to know your limit, being willing to accept your limit, and knowing what you are an expert in, like as in any field. Like, I am not going to counsel people that are dealing with things that are outside my area of expertise. In the same way, don't try and DIY something that is very far outside of your area of expertise.
Yeah, definitely.
Including electrical work.
Yeah. So the list is electrical work, garage door repair, roof repair, tree removal, and crown molding. I actually, I was in a Facebook group, not ours, but another Facebook group, and someone was asking about tree removal. They got a quote, and they were like, I feel like I could do this myself cheaper. Is there any way that, like, I could do this? And everybody in the group, and this is like a financial independence group, so everyone's super frugal, and they're all like, nah, man. Don't do it yourself. Like, it's not worth the hospital bills. Like, it's not worth you dying. Because people, after last year's hurricane, they made it through the hurricane and then died trying to take a chainsaw to branches. Yeah. So it's just not worth it for that one specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, we're talking big trees. But even then, you've got to know what you're doing. My parents had a a tree on their property that needed to come down, and they brought in this guy, and honestly, watching him, it was pretty ridiculous to watch. He was a bit of a character. Like it almost was like he was trying to connect with the tree and like dancing all around it and like just doing some really weird stuff.
He
and
was
I'm like,
an arborist.
What is happening? Yes. But he took that thing down fast, and he knew exactly where it was going to fall. So by the end of it, I mean, I was on board. I was a fan. But watching the process was definitely a sight to be seen. He was really connecting with that tree. But, you know, the tree listened. So
yeah. So unless you know how to talk tree, leave it to the professionals that have insurance. And also, I thought a unique one was the garage door repair. And they said in the article, this was from hubyourhome.com. And they said in the article that actually garage door repair takes tools that are not like readily available to the public.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't verify
that. Yeah, I found that one interesting
too. Yeah. But I was like, well, all I have is a MacGyver toolbox. So if that's what you're telling me, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Know your toolbox level.
Yes.
The interesting one, and the article even points this out too, is the crown molding. So that's less about risk of injury to yourself and more about just the skill required to do this thing that you just shouldn't attempt it yourself if you don't know how to make good specialty cuts. Because like this article said, the point of crown molding is to make your room look nicer, is to update it, dress it up. It's not a necessary thing. It's a decor thing, but it does require a degree of skill because walls are not perfectly square and they need to be. Like if you're just going to do your cuts, they would need to be perfectly square for your average person. But a professional will know how to do those cuts at the different degrees that the walls might be meeting each other. So it's just not worth it. It'll end up looking really crappy if you don't know what you're doing there. So let somebody else do it.
Yeah. And then I think electrical and roof kind of speak for themselves. Besides the just changing out the light switch, which is very light electrical work, like anything beyond that can seriously mess you up. And you have to turn off power to your home. And in Florida, we don't do electrical work in the summer because it's just impossible to have your power off.
Because you need that AC.
Yeah. Because Travis was going to install, Travis has done electrical work in airplanes. So he was going to install something for the RV in our house to plug it in. But I was like, I don't think I can live without the AC. Can you not? And then we're inside the RV and I'm like, I don't think I can live without the AC. Bye. So that's why this renovation's taking so long.
I think that there was some really great stuff in these articles that I would just direct people to explore these articles and then try and figure out if you can do some of these things yourself. And we'll keep the conversation going throughout the week and the coming months in our Frugal Friends Facebook group. So
yes,
there's even more to be learned there.
Yes, I'm sure people in the group will have suggestions that we did not think about, but moral of the story, know what you can do, know what you can't. And if there's something in between, search YouTube for it. Bam.
Boom.
Bam.
Boom, bam, bang. Well, that wraps things up. If you're reading along with us in the Frugal Friends Book Club, we are wrapping up The Year of Less by Kate Flanders, and we are moving on to Your Money or Your Life by Vicki Robin and Joe Dominguez.
Yes, much different book, but still a classic. And if you want a free copy of October's book, we're giving away one for every 5 reviews we get this month, no limit. And all you have to do to enter is leave us a review on your podcast listening device and screenshot it and send it to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll select the winners on the end of the day of the last day of the month. And we'll let you know. And then we will send you one via Amazon.
And if you want an example of a good five-star review, we've got one right here for you. So Amaryllis M wrote, the title of her review was, "Love, love, love this podcast. Wow, three loves. What can I say?
So many loves."
And they say, "I love that the hosts have two different personalities that we as the listener are able to really relate to. They provide great suggestions on being more frugal without feeling guilty about the journey there. Love listening to this podcast." Wow. That's a lot of love. We love that you're listening to this podcast as well.
Yes.
And that you don't feel guilty about the process to be frugal and debt-free and financially independent. It is a process and it does look different for all of us. And that's why we're friends talking about it. We're not shoving this thing in your face. So
yeah,
glad that you're our friend. And also that was written on my birthday. So
ooh, yes. Happy birthday, Jill.
Super special. Well, it happened a while ago.
But like I'm thankful for your birth all year long.
Back then it was a good birthday yes. gift.
Yes. But like, how are Jill and I different? Like, I feel like we're like the same person. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Anyways. Okay. So thank you so much for, so sorry. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. If you want to hang out with us every Friday, hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening to this. And we'll come at you every week with more frugal goodness. Until then, bye y'all.
See you next week.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
Oh my gosh, somebody mentioned last week that they thought the massaging kale joke was an inside joke, and they were unfamiliar with the act of massaging kale. And I was like, what?
I had never heard of it either.
I know. I didn't make it up though. So I sent her numerous links on kale massage.
Oh, I hope then it didn't go too far.
Yeah. She blocked me and left the group and reported me.
Yeah, I had first learned about massaging kale from you. And I mean, right? I didn't know what it was going to be about, which is why I took pictures. I was like, hold on, I've got to prove that this is going to be worth it and necessary. And then I took pictures, and sure enough.
But do you think other people heard that and thought, oh, Jill and Jenna are into weird stuff?
When did we talk about massaging kale?
Frugal date ideas. At the end. Really? At the very end, yeah. We're not into weird stuff.
Probably, but that's maybe. Okay. I'm okay with people assuming we're into weird stuff.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to stop the recording on this one.